Hello, welcome back. This is Dr. Mindy Shaw. This is my sixth podcast, Teaching Humanity Remotely. And today I'm going to further discuss something that I brought up last time. Eddie from Eddiesville wanted a little clarification on what I meant when I said that adults socialize children's attention. So I wanted to discuss that. And then I am going to be reading one of my books called Shame to Your Children. So, Eddie, thanks for that question, and thanks for feeling comfortable to ask me clarifying questions. So, again, if people have questions that they want to ask me or suggestions as to what they'd like me to discuss on my podcast, as well as new books that they'd like me to write, there was a suggestion from a parent, a mom, that asked me if I could write a book on sharing. So there is a new book on sharing and caring. And there's also a new book. It's really for a little younger child, more like the 2-3-year-old child. That book is called I Want, I Want, I Want, Mine, 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 and Why, Why. And Why is an interesting little twist, because instead of a child asking Min Min the topic, I actually have my daughter asking, what do you do when your child is constantly asking why? So it's a little different twist. And I know that parents who have children who are 2- and 3-year-old children really could use that book, because that's, you know, children do go through that phase, I want, and mine, and they do constantly ask why. So that's a little interesting twist. I'm trying to put the books together now with a very mindful intention about the topics that I think should be together. So if you're interested in seeing the new books or asking me any questions or leaving me any suggestions, please remember that feel free to go to my website, which is learnwithmeremotely.com. Okay, so Eddie, let me explain what I mean when I say adults socialize children's attention. So this is my philosophy. I believe that we all have a limited amount of attention. So what are we going to pay attention to? As adults, when we are with children, I would say that most of us have the intention and wish to be conscious of our interactions when we're with our children and how we're being in front of our children. But it's not always possible. Sometimes we're just in reaction. So sometimes I might be with a young child and I might feel angry at my mate, or I might feel impatient in a traffic jam or waiting online at the grocery store. And because I'm not only focused on my child, and in some ways I might not really be attending to how I want to show up in front of my child, I might demonstrate that frustration that I have. Furthermore, I might not discuss that with my child. So for example, let's even think of it when I'm with the child. I'm driving, my two children are in the back seat, they're fighting in the car, I'm getting upset, I reprimand them. Under normal circumstances, if my attention wasn't on my driving, and my attention wasn't on the fact that we're late for an appointment, and my attention wasn't on my frustration, I might not have turned and started to scream at them. Because that's not really giving them a learning lesson. That's not really how I want to show up, right? So I don't even discuss that moment with them. I forget about it. I think they forget about it. But in fact, they're learning something about how I behaved in that situation. All of that behavior that I had, my frustration, my screaming at them for fighting in the car, all of that frustration, without discussing it, they learned something. And if I think about it, I don't really want them to learn that I should be screaming at them when they're fighting. I want them to learn how to not fight. So if I was paying attention to just the fighting in the car, I would have handled it differently. So what I would suggest is, once I realize that I showed up in front of them in a way that really is not in anyone's best interest, and it's not lessons I want them to learn, I need to revisit that. And I need to say, if in fact I am sorry that I behaved that way, I need to say, you know, this morning when we were driving together and you were fighting and I was really frustrated, I want to say that I'm sorry that I started screaming at you in the back seat. and I'm going to show you, and you are going to pay attention to my being sorry. I'm going to show you I'm sorry because I am going to change my behavior. So in other words, if a child does something wrong and they say they're sorry, and your standard of really knowing that they're sorry is that they're changing their behavior, and you tell them that, then when you do something wrong, you need them to attend, to pay attention to how you're behaving when you do something wrong. You're noting it, you're marking it, you're attending to it, and you're bringing their attention to it. So you say, I'm sorry that I was screaming at you in the morning, that I was wrong, and I'm going to change my behavior, and I'm not going to do that anymore. And is there anything that you two could have done that could have made the morning run more smoothly? And then they could possibly say, and in time they will say, because of all your fine modeling and all the opportunity you're giving them to pay attention to what you want them to pay attention to, how you want them to ultimately behave, they'll say, yeah, you know, we didn't have to fight this morning. We realized that you were stressed out and we could have been more friendly with each other or more respectful or whatever it is. If you want your child, for example, to have nice manners, if that's something as a family that you value, if you see that that's a skill that could be helpful to them, then you have to have nice manners. So when you want something in the house, oh, honey, can you please get the telephone? Oh, can you please pass me the mashed potatoes? Thank you so much. You're welcome. All of that is being mindful and socializing the children's attention to what you want them to pay attention to. And I don't think that's hard when we are in the moment and we're intentional and we know that we want children to say nice things, or we know that there's certain expectations we have for children. I don't think it's hard to do that. I think what is much more challenging is when we as adults are not conscious, and in a moment we get taken and we don't realize, oh, look, Liz and Johnny just heard what I was saying and I really wouldn't want them to hear that. Or I wish I didn't behave that way. So we just have to own it. Again, we just have to take another moment and retake that. And by sweeping it under the rug and thinking that, you know, no one really paid attention, that is not the best way to have children learn what you want them to learn. Because just because you might have not been in the moment and paying attention doesn't mean that they didn't see something. They saw something, and because it wasn't discussed or taught, it's going to be interpreted in a certain way that might not be in anyone's interest. So that was what I wanted to say. But today I'm really spending most of the time on this podcast to read one of my books to your children. Boys and girls, welcome. I'm so glad you're here. You know, when I was a teacher, and I was a teacher for over 30 years, what I loved best about teaching was the give and take. Lots of conversation between me as the teacher and the children, and then discussions with children talking to each other. So working in this way, where I don't get to see your beautiful faces and we don't get to interact, is a little challenging for me. So I'm going to be doing the best I can. I have written a lot of books, and the book that I want to read to you today is called Shame. And I don't know if you know what shame means, so let me define it for you. Now you're going to hear a little noise because I have to turn the pages. Shame. Shame is the feeling of embarrassed, when you feel embarrassed or you feel foolish. And the reason I wanted to read this story is because when I was a teacher, and I taught kindergarten and first grade for a really long time, and I loved it so much. And something I noticed was when young children would make a mistake, they would feel embarrassed. And they would sometimes want to spend a lot of time erasing the mistake instead of learning from the mistake. And since I think we have a limited amount of attention and energy in any one moment, if I choose to spend all the time erasing the mistake, then I may not have attention and energy to learn. So I don't feel that we need to erase the mistake. Every once in a while, we're going to want an eraser. If we want something to, if we want to make a card for someone we love and we want to be perfect, and we make a little mistake in how we write a letter, then we might want to erase. But for the most part, when I'm learning throughout the day, I don't really want to erase my mistakes. I want to celebrate them and I want to learn from them. And I want you to think about the mistake as in a new way. And here's the way I'd like you to see if you can think about it. You know when you go see a movie and you love that movie? Let's say the movie is Toy Story. You know, when those actors are acting and they're saying their lines, sometimes they don't say their lines perfectly. And everything has to stop and they have to do it again. And in the movies, when they do it again, it's called a retake. So I don't know if you've ever seen a movie being made, but when they take a retake, it's like take two, take three, take four, and they have to do it over again until they get it perfectly. But every time they have to do a retake, they're getting better and better and better. That's where practice comes in, and practice makes perfect. So now I'm going to read you my story, Shame. Again, shame is feeling embarrassed or foolish. So here's the story. In the story, there's two characters. There's Min Min, that's me, I'm the grandma, and there's Olivia, she's my five-year-old granddaughter. So here goes. Min Min, today I made a mistake and I felt ashamed and embarrassed. Well, Olivia, I think I can share some information that can really help you. When babies are young, they have no shame regarding making mistakes. When a baby wants to walk, they start off by standing and taking a few steps. They often hold on to something like a sofa or a couch or a table. After a few steps, they fall, but that doesn't stop them from learning how to walk. Each time they fall, they get up again and practice walking by taking a few steps, falling, and repeating their actions or behavior. And I don't know if any of you remember when you started walking, or if you see your sisters or brothers or cousins walk. This is exactly how it happens, right? They take a few steps, and then they fall, and then they get up again. But could you imagine if they were ashamed each time they fell? They would stop trying. Somehow, without thinking about it, babies realize that they have to repeat the behavior in order to learn how to truly walk on their own without holding on and without falling. It is for a similar reason that when I was a teacher, I had no erasers in our classroom. I did not want the children to put their limited attention on their mistakes. I wanted the children to understand that each mistake was a learning lesson. By understanding what they didn't know, they could learn what they needed to learn next. Now, I want to just take a moment and I'm going to explain that. I'm not reading now. I'm just explaining what it looks like to learn from your mistake. Let's say you're in kindergarten or first grade, and you want to write the word coat. Let's say the word coat. Let's say the word slowly. C-O-T. How many sounds do you hear? That's right. You hear three sounds in the word coat. So the first sound, K, is either a C or a K. Let's say you know that it's a C. The next sound, C-O, is an O. And the next sound, T, is a T. So if someone were to write the word C-O-T for coat, as the teacher, I would know, wow, that child did a really nice job writing all the sounds that they heard in coat. That child knows how to stretch the sounds they hear in words by going coat. I know that. So this is not exactly how you spell the word, but I understand as the teacher the mistake that the child made. And now I know the next learning lesson to give them. I say to them, you know, when it's a three-letter word and the vowel is in the middle, the vowel will not say its own name. It's always going to say the short sound of the vowel sound. And so then I know to say to the child, what makes the O in coat say O? Here's the rule. It will either be the magic E at the end or two vowels going walking and the first one does the talking. That second vowel is just a placeholder to let the writer and reader know that the first vowel is going to say the long sound, which is its own name. So if the child erased that mistake, I wouldn't know what the learning lesson was for that child. So that's why the mistake is really an opportunity to say, oh, I know what's next. And eventually, as the child learns more and more, when the child makes the mistake, the child will be able to say what the next learning lesson is. Because one thing about being a learner is when you are younger, the adults that are working with you are knowing what the next learning lesson is. But as you become a learner, you as a learner can start figuring out what you need next. And I think that's the very best place to be as a learner. So you don't feel like you need grown-ups to always be teaching you, because you'll be able to figure out what's next. And that's why there's no reason to feel ashamed about the mistake. So let me just read that last part before I move on. I want the children to understand that each mistake was a learning lesson. By understanding what they didn't know, they could learn what they needed to learn next. From what I was able to witness about how we learn, I saw that our attention is very short, so we need to make sure we are putting our attention or our focus on what we want to learn. If a child spends all his or her time on erasing the mistake, the child will not be attending to their new learning. So, given all this, question arises. Why does the child feel the need to erase? It is because the child feels shame about making a mistake. They feel embarrassed, or they might feel as though they are failing. However, the baby who wants to learn how to walk only feels motivated and inspired to get it right every time they fall. The baby gets up again, tries harder, and finally learns to walk independently. I'm sharing this information with you because to feel shamed or embarrassed about a mistake only serves to waste energy. Feeling badly about a mistake does not help to learn, and it can actually prevent learning. It is important for grown-ups to make sure that they are teaching children to see the mistake as new learning opportunity. Children should truly be learning from each experience. We should really be celebrating our mistakes. At the end of this book, there are talking points, as with all of my books. So the first talking point is, what is the definition of shame? And if you didn't know that, you can go back to the very first page where I actually define it. Shame is feeling embarrassed or foolish. The next talking point is, do you agree that every person has a limited amount of attention? So do you agree with that? And your family can talk about it. Think about, you know, you walk a little bit and then you get tired, or you swim and then you need to rest, or you do schoolwork and then you get tired. So think about if you only have a limited amount of attention. What can you do when you feel your attention start to wander? So that means when you see that you're drifting, how can you come back and pay attention? So that's a really great topic that you and your family can talk about. Here's another talking point. Where do you think it most important to put your attention, in erasing a mistake or in learning from it? And the last talking point is, as we grow older, why do we feel shame, unlike the baby who feels no shame? And I think that's really an important question, and I think it will be a very interesting topic for families to discuss. So I just wanted to share one of my stories with you. And I wanted your parents to listen to the story as well and to see how I would be reading the story and then discussing the topics. And I think the stories that I wrote are written to be read over and over and over again. They're really almost like reference stories that you can go back to. So in the next learning that your child has, and maybe boys and girls, or maybe even parents, when you're learning and it's getting hard and you're feeling frustrated doing something new, as this remote learning is something new, you know, we can go back to how we feel when we are learning something new, and how can we learn without feeling embarrassed, without feeling shame. I was thinking, as a child, I never learned how to roller skate, and a few years ago I started skating. And I would fall. And the first time I fell, I remember it didn't hurt me. But what I was concerned about is I was looking around if anyone was watching. And I thought, wow, that's where shame comes in. why would I even be putting my attention into if someone was watching or not? But, you know, we get embarrassed. And then I had to sort of retake to say, you know what, I'm learning and I've never done this before. And sometimes I'm going to fall and it's perfectly fine. And I'm not going to put my attention in how it looks to others when I fall. I'm going to put my attention in trying not to fall. Then I'm going to put my attention, if I fall, to get back up and hope that I'm not hurt. So it's about, where does shame come from? You know, it's like, where does that come from? And there's lots to talk about there. And so I wrote this book so that children could have the freedom to learn without feeling uncomfortable, without feeling any negative emotion about they're not knowing or they're making a mistake, and only feeling good about their learning. So this really concludes my sixth podcast. I just wanted to really have an opportunity to share a book with your children and to share it also with the parents. And I hope that you enjoyed it. And our next podcast, we will be discussing some very important themes around the issue of stamina and strategies. So until next time, this is Dr. Mindy Shaw. Always a pleasure. Please feel free to write any of your concerns or look at my new books and even some of the old books going to learnwithmeremotely.com. Until next time.